Test. Okay, here we go. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah 9. And on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting, with sackcloth, and with dirt upon them. And the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for a fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Now, on the Levites' platform stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani, and they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabneah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethiah, said, "Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. O may thy glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou alone art the Lord. Thou hast made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. Thou dost give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before thee. Thou art the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. And thou didst find his heart faithful before thee, and didst make a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite, the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite, and to give it to his descendants. And thou hast fulfilled thy promise, for thou art righteous. Thou didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and didst hear their cry by the Red Sea. Then thou didst perform signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants and the people of his land. For thou didst know that they acted arrogantly toward them, and didst make a name for thyself as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground, and their pursuers thou didst hurl into the depths, like a stone into raging waters. And with a pillar of cloud thou didst lead them by day, and with a pillar of fire by night, and to light for them the way which they were to go. Then thou didst come down on Mount Sinai, and didst speak with them from heaven. Thou didst give to them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So thou didst make known to them thy holy Sabbath, and didst lay down for them commandments, statutes, and law through thy servant Moses. Thou didst provide bread from heaven for them for their hunger, and didst bring forth water from a rock for them for their thirst. Thou didst tell them to enter order in order to possess to the land which thou didst swear to give them. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. And they refused to listen, did not remember thy wondrous deeds which thou hast performed among them. And they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Thou didst not forsake them. Then, even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, 'This is your God who brought you out from Egypt and committed great blasphemies,' thou and thou great compassion didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. And thou didst give thy good spirit to instruct them. Thy manna thou didst not withhold from their mouth, and didst give them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years thou didst provide for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. Thou didst also give them kingdoms and peoples, and thou didst allot to them as a boundary, and they took possession of the land of Sihon, the king of Hebron, and the land of Og, the king of Bashan. And thou didst make their sons numerous as the stars of heaven. Thou didst bring them into the land, which thou hadst told their fathers to enter and possess. So their sons entered and possessed the land, and thou didst subdue before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites. And thou didst give them into their hand with their kings and their peoples of the land, to do with them as they desired. And they captured fortified cities and a fertile land. They took possession of the houses full of every good thing, hewn cisterns, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. So they ate, were filled, and grew fat, and reveled in thy great goodness. But they became disobedient and rebelled against thee. Cast thy law behind their backs, and killed the by prophets that had admonished them, and they might return to thee. And they committed great blasphemies. Therefore that thou didst deliver them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But they cried to thee in the time of their distress. Thou didst hear from heaven, and according to thy great compassion, thou didst give them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. But as soon as they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, thou didst abandon them to the hand of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. When they cried again to thee, thou didst hear from heaven. And many times thou didst rescue them according to thy compassion, and admonish them in order to turn them back to thy law. They acted arrogantly and did not listen to thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he shall live. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. There, however, thou didst bear with them for many years and admonished them by thy spirit through thy prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, thou didst give them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in thy great compassion, thou didst not make an end of them or forsake them, for thou art a gracious and compassionate God. Now, therefore, our God, the great and mighty of the awesome God, who does keep covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardships seem insignificant before thee, which has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and all thy people. For the days of the kings of Assyria to this day, however, thou art just in all that has come upon us. For thou hast dealt faithfully, but we have acted wickedly. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers had not kept thy law or paid attention to thy commandments and thine admonitions, which thou hast admonished them. But they in their own kingdom, with thy great goodness, which thou didst give them, with the broad and rich land which thou didst set before them, did not serve thee or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today. And as to the land which thou didst give, and to the fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves on it. And its abundant produce is for the kings, whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. Now, because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing, and on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. Amen. So, remember, the temple is built, the wall is built, and now comes the spiritual preparation for the people, and they're going to go back to the covenant that they had made before with God. Just to give you a little background, if you want to get more insight into what's happening during this time, it's what we call the post-exilic period, after the exile, a post meaning after the exile. There are basically three prophets that were alive during this time, and you guys may be very familiar with them because each of them have their own book. This was Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And so each of these guys actually spoke, they were present during the time of Ezra, Zerubbabel, and Nehemiah during this place. If you go to the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah basically encourage the people to build a temple, and then Malachi is the one who encouraged them to build a wall. And so you have a bit of idea. So when we get to those prophets, you'll understand that they're talking about this time period, which is very important for the people of Israel. So they get to the 24th day of the month, and so you know what day this is? It's Yom Kippur. It's the day of fasting. It's the most holy day. So they're fasting. They're seeking the Lord. And as they come to this place, they put on sackcloth and they put dirt upon them. This was an ancient symbolism of their repentance. And so sackcloth, meaning uncomfortable clothing, that kind of is akin to punishment or pain or something that effect. And then dirt, which is symbolic of their sinfulness in this way. You know, they're stained. We could look at it that way. And so they come. And so when they get to this holy place, it first starts with repentance. And number one, they separate themselves. The descendants of Israel separated themselves from all the foreigners. This was the major issue that was going on, and it was still going on even in the midst of the restoration that's happening here. And so they still are attached themselves to foreigners, and they stood and they start confessing their sins before the Lord and also the iniquities of their fathers. And so they're recognizing this is something that's been happening generationally. I want you to know that if you ever want to get close to God, if you're ever in a point and maybe you get a revelation or something comes upon you and you come to this conclusion, you know what? I got to get close to God. The first thing you need to step into is repentance. A recognition, a realization that God didn't leave you. You left God. God left slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. God was always there. He's always been there. He always will be there. But he didn't turn our backs on us. We turn our backs on him. It's our sins that separated us from him. We left him. He still remained there. And so the first thing that when we talk about let's go back to God, let's get right with God or whatever it may be, it always starts with repentance, an acknowledgement of what we've done and the consequences of what of how that happens. So they come to this place. They go together. A Jewish day is 12 hours. We can see that through the writings. So they spent 3 hours reading the word and 3 hours in worship and in repentance before the Lord. So half the day was spent doing this. This is on the most holy day. And then they get on the platform and they're about now to basically to re-sign the covenant again. So all the leaders, the Levites, the priests are laid out there. And if you look, verse 4, these guys are shouting in a loud voice because, remember, going back, they're still translating. So they're still explaining what's going on here to all the people. And then the first part of this is basically broken up into three different parts. The first part is the hand of God, the great deliverances of God. Ezra is reminding the people that God has been faithful to us. He goes all the way back from Genesis. He takes them through to Noah, to Moses, to the wilderness, and he carries them all the way through. And he's talking about this is how God has watched over us. And then from verse 16 on, it goes to the sins of Israel. So God had given us all these things. He chose Abram, changed his name, you know, sent us out of the wilderness. You know, all these things happened to us, and God was with us and all these things. But then what happened? Our great sin. Verse 16, but our fathers acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. They refused to listen. Did not remember thy wondrous deeds which thou hast performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader returned to their slavery in Egypt. It's the same situation. They acted corruptly, but yet God. In the middle of 17, but you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. So they acted arrogantly. The proper term is they stiffened their necks. They became, you know, hard-hearted and hard, you know, I guess the way I say it is they became knuckleheads. And so they come to this place, and so, but God rescues them still. It continues on. And so they had compassion. Lord, even though, you know, in Egypt, you still led them by the fire. You still led them by the cloud, you know, to cover them from the sun. I mean, can you imagine this incredible miracle? Water came out from rocks. Bread came out of heaven. You know, the word manna in Hebrew literally translated as, what is this? Like, they have no idea what this is. It's literally translated, what is this? Like, this sweet thing that comes out of the sky. They wanted meat, and God brought meat to them, you know, through quails, birds that came. They got fed, and then they walked 40 years in the wilderness. Their clothes did not wither, nor their shoes. Their feet did not swell. Their shoes were still intact. I mean, that 40 years, that's crazy. That's a miracle. And then God blessed them. They brought them into new land, did all these things and wonderful things. They possessed all of this stuff and captured fortified cities. And then 26, here we go again. But they became disobedient, rebelled against you. And then so on and so forth. Therefore, you deliver them into the hand of the oppressors. So they cried out. Guess what? God delivers them again. And then in 28, but as soon as they had rest, they did evil against the Lord again. He admonished them to come before them. But next thing you know, they go back they sin again before the Lord. I mean, it just goes back and forth, back and forth. They sin. God rescues them, gives them favor, everything's cool, and they sin again. And then God rescues them again, and then they sin again. And God rescues them again, and they sin again. This is basically the timeline of the Israelite people, the people of God. And so, and then in verse 32, they get to this place where they begin to renew the covenant before the Lord. And they basically are coming to this place and say, Lord, we are now at this place, and we need you to move in our behalf. And then the last part of verse 38, this is the summary statement. Now, because of all this, because of all the history of Israel, all that's gone past, because of all this, we're making an agreement in writing. They're making covenant again. Or I should say better, they're renewing covenant. And on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. And then in chapter 10, they're going to ratify this covenant in this most holy day of Yom Kippur. And we see this really, you know, a beautiful thing happen. You know, brothers and sisters, the story of the Israelites is our story as well. You know, I mean, we were lost, alone in the darkness. God had mercy on us, found us, saved us. And then we kind of, you know, were joyful in our salvation. And then somewhere down the road, we sinned again before the Lord. But God did not forsake us. He still had us. He kept us going, and so on and so on and so forth. And this is our story as well. You know, we have not been faithful. But, I mean, praise the Lord that he's always been faithful. You know, Paul writes to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he says, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And so, if you remember, in fact, I just used that word, one of the things that the prophets are telling the people, the things that the Spirit is constantly telling us, is really that word, remember. I mean, how many times do you see this? Remember what God has done. Remember how he went and before you in the cloud and the fire. Remember how you were lost, sold, and slave. Remember. You know, and I think the reason why that we sin against the Lord, even in the midst of our salvation, is we forgot to remember. We didn't remember what he's done for us. That's why in one of our discipleship classes, some of you guys have taken Experiencing God with me. And another class is starting in January if you need to sign up. And in that class, we have a section, and we call it spiritual markers. And this is where we just sit down and just write down just this, you know, significant things that God has done in our lives, because it helps us to remember what he's done for us. Again, I think one of the reasons why we, like honestly, I don't think, and, you know, I'm speaking for myself, maybe I'm taking myself off the hook a little bit, but, you know, most normal Christians, you know, I mean, we can define what that means, but most normal Christians, I don't necessarily think it's we have a big love problem, or, you know, I think we most respect God and these kind of things. I don't think that's really the issue. I mean, if you really ask someone, they would say, I really love God. I mean, I really honor God, and I really respect God, and all these things. But the reality is, we are very forgetful. We forget what God has done for us. We forget these things. And then it leads us to sin, and it leads us to a wayward path. In this way, and maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to start journaling and start writing down the things that God has done for you, and so you can constantly remember. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you guys do this, as a parent, this is one of my confessions. As a parent, you know, sometimes when I get really upset with my kids, you know, and I go back to look at baby pictures. You know, I go back to, like, when they're really cute, you know. I mean, they're still really cute, but I go back a bit, and sometimes, like, to be honest, okay, I'm giving myself a lot of credit. I actually don't go back. I have a screensaver on my computer, and when the computer, and then the pictures come up, right? And I, even though I'm so, like, ugh, you know, my daughter, you know, this, and then I see her when she was 6 years old. Oh, she's so cute. I remember. It's crazy. You know, when I remember, my heart gets very soft. It's uncanny. My heart gets very soft. And whatever anger and disappointment I had, when I remember how sweet they were, and they are, You know, they just had a little bad day or something like that. But it's the power of memory. And I think this is the problem with the Israelites. I think it's our problem as well. They're just forgetful. They forgot what God has done for them. And I want to really encourage us today to remember, you know, a lot of the songs, if you notice, I've noticed this theme of a lot of people that are writing worship songs right now. And it's going back to the remembering. You know, it's like, you know, you'll never leave us. You know, you're, I forget, there's a few songs that I've been, you know, Never Once. Is it Never Once? Right? You know, Matt Redman's song, you know, and basically the message of the song is just remember. You know, he didn't fail us back then. He's not going to fail us now. Remember what God has done. This is constant theme that are going over and over again for us today. And so let's close our eyes and let's just take a moment and remember, maybe even going way back, remember when you were lost and alone in the darkness. You didn't find Jesus. He found you. I know Delirious has that song, I Found Jesus. Theologically incorrect. Jesus found us. We were lost and alone in the darkness, and he found us. Remember what he's done for you. Remember the cross. Remember how he watched over you. Remember how you were desperate to get married. And God provided that wonderful spouse. Remember when you were looking for a job. And God provided your work for you. Remember when your mom was sick and God healed her. Remember. Remember and thank the Lord. And let's pray this morning. To this morning, huh? You know, this is why, you know, we do the communion once a month. Remember Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done for you. We're to come regularly. So this morning, let's remember. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to bring back to memory all those times that God rescued you, that God fought on your behalf, that God saved you and helped you and provided for you. And let gratitude just flow out of our hearts and say thank you. Especially if we think about Hong Kong. You know, God's always been faithful over this city. He will continue to be faithful. That's who He is. Regardless of what the circumstances say, He'll always watch over. And let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and go through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are bound through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission prayers. Let's pray for China. Let's ask God to continue to breathe His Spirit and then the country be changed from within as the Holy Spirit takes over. Let's pray for our churches, our pastors there. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pastor Hyunsu and his family, SP Shanghai, Pastor Ricky and his family. Pray for the Chungs as well. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. And just lift up the churches. Let's pray the gospel will be preached powerfully in the underground church, in the house churches, in the three self churches, the international churches, ethnic churches, all over the land, that the gospel would be proclaimed powerfully. And let's lift up. Pray for our board. Let's ask God's hand and just the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come over them. Pray that each member would just move in humility and just really in the wisdom of God. Let's cover them. Let's cover their families. Cover our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for our young adults at Yahweh. Pray for our men's ministry, our Monday prayer, Pure Desire, and our women's ministry. And let's ask God's hand to be with the leaders and really continue to draw us closer to Him. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Remember, this is 1.5. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's continue to pray over our vision fund that God would continue to bless. And as we just pray in a benefactor, you know, as per the prophetic words that we've gotten over the years. And let's just lift up. Let's lift up our house churches before the Lord. Bluepool, Fortress, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventress. And let's ask God's hand to be upon our leaders, our hosts, that the members as they gather together, that firstly they would travel safely. And when they gather together, it just be a sense of a move of God that moves in our hearts. Let's continue to pray for Hong Kong. Well, let's continue to pray against the spirit of violence and retaliation and revenge and anger. You know, there seems to be a tide that's turning a little bit. I think the violence is, you're starting to hear uproar from other nations and other people around. It's going a little too far. And so let's just continue to pray over that. Let's pray that the sentiment would change and that, again, we can keep praying the Prince of Peace would come down. Now let's just lift up our city. Let's pray this morning. Lord, Father, we just ask, God, that you'd help us to remember and remember what you've done for us, God. Remember the cross. Remember, Lord, that once we were lost and alone in the darkness, God, and you found us, Lord. God, help us out of that memory, Lord, to walk in gratitude, Lord God, and be equipped and filled, Lord, so that we would walk the path, God, that you desire for us to walk. Lord, we pray for our city today, God. We just continue to pray against that spirit of violence, that spirit of rage and anger that's hovering over this city. Lord, we pray the Prince of Peace, Lord, would you send your angels down and would you war against, God, those spirits and, God, and bring an end, God, to the chaos that's been ravaging our city, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe over this situation, over this place. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Watch over us today, God. Lord, keep us safe, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.